Good morning. Our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Job. Job chapter 23, verse 12 will serve as our scripture text this morning. Job chapter 23, verse 12. We'll be focusing on the B part of the verse. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. The context of our text is Job's response to Eliphaz's charges of wickedness on Job's part. The words of Job were truly spoken. The divine commentary is that Job was blameless and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. So we would do well to imitate him by glorifying God after the same manner. So Job gives us some very good advice, indeed a very good principle to live our Christian lives by. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. First, God's word, or God's words, are a treasure. Secondly, notice that spiritual food is necessary. And third, God commands certain responses from those who call him Lord. God's words are a treasure. Now, Job lived before any of the Bible had been written. So if you have a chronological Bible, which takes all of the books in order, generally Job will be at the front of it. Job was one of the patriarchs, and so he didn't have the benefit of the book in his hand. Therefore, he either had some special revelation from God himself, and or he recognized God's words, or God's word, as having been passed down orally from Adam to Methuselah, or Lamech, the grandfather and father of Noah, to Shem, who was still alive in the days of Job. Today, however, the canon of Scripture has long been closed. We have God's complete love letter to man in the form of the Old Testament and the New Testament Scriptures. The Holy Bible that we hold contains everything that we need, everything that you need, friend, to find peace with God and to live a life that is pleasing to him. The scripture testifies of itself. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So seek no further revelation or divine word, for the canon is closed. So if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, I have a word from the Lord for you, God told me such and such a thing, say, great brother, show me where it is in this book that I might rejoice with you. And if they can't show you where it is in this book, then God hasn't said it. In fact, divine curses await those who would presume to add or to subtract to God's word. Now, these things should go without saying, but there is so much foolishness that's out there that passes for Christianity. You see it on the TV or on the radio, even in many churches, even churches in this city where people will be doing all kinds of strange things or teaching things that the Lord has not taught. Things that never even entered into the mind of the Lord God. God's words are a treasure, and they should be treated as such. Amen. The Bible is the most important book, and it is to be read for, I don't know how many years running, probably a couple thousand or so. The Bible is the best-selling book across the globe. It's got the most sales in the world. But unfortunately, it's also the book that has the most dust on it in far too many homes. The most sales, the most dust. A very interesting thing here. People will think nothing of reading a novel that is a few hundred pages long in a month. But oh, to read 100 or 200 pages from the lips of the Lord. This, for many, is too difficult. Excuses. Now, a treasure is something that we dig for, right? People bury treasures, and we dig for them. It's generally well hidden. Applied in this sense, we dig through the pages of Scripture in search of truth. And the earnest seeker of God's truth is richly rewarded every time. And I speak of spiritual riches, of course. When God's word speaks of riches, this is always in view. As the psalmist writes, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Many of us have walked that road in our lives for far too long a time. But his delight, that is, the delight of the blessed man, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Second point this morning. Job says that he has treasured the words of God's mouth more than his necessary food. Very interesting. If food for the body is necessary, how much more so is food for the soul necessary? Just as physical bread is necessary to sustain and nourish the body, spiritual bread is necessary to sustain and nourish both soul and spirit. If we starve or malnourish the body, what happens? We get sick. We're unhealthy. So too, if we starve or malnourish the soul, we'll become sick and unhealthy as well. Jesus, who is also called the Word, calls himself the bread of life, saying, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes me shall never thirst." Remember when Jesus said to his disciples, "I have bread that they don't know about," and his disciples were not getting it. And they're like, wow, he must have his own stash somewhere in the corner, and they're trying to figure it out. And Jesus clarifies this point for them. No, the bread that I have to offer is bread from heaven. It is necessary if Christ indeed is the bread of life. And he says he is, and so therefore he is, to come to Christ for spiritual sustenance. Without Jesus at all, you will die in your sins, and you will spend eternity apart from God. The scripture is very clear on this point. It's that simple. Black and white. The world doesn't like black and white, because black and white makes people accountable. Having enough gray areas to squeeze out gives room for excuse, for excuses. Therefore, I urge you, if you have not done so, make your peace with God through Christ today. Amen. This you must do. It is necessary to trust in Jesus if you wish to go to heaven. You'll not get to heaven your own way. You will not get to heaven any other way but through the way that God has provided, namely through His Son, Jesus Christ, who also said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, you will not deprive yourself of bread and water. Not for a sustained period of time, except perhaps for the purpose of fasting. Why then will you deprive yourself of spiritual bread and water? Trust in the Lord and heed His words. Which leads us to our final point this morning. God commands certain responses from those who call Him Lord. If you believe these things, if you assent to this truth, which Job spoke. By the way, Job going through the greatest suffering that any man who has ever gone through, with the exception of Jesus Christ, at least insofar as it is recorded, he was still able to say, "I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." We have the second half of Job 23, verse 12, as our text. Let us read the whole verse now. "I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." In other words, Job wasn't just paying lip service to what God had said. He was an obedient servant, doing the things which God had said. So I exhort you, brethren, to not only pay lip service to this truth and say, "Yes, I believe this, that God's word is important, that Christ is the bread of life," but to prove that you believe this by obeying the commandments of Christ. For therein lies the evidence. There's no fruit in your life, no obedience in your life, then I urge you, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Perhaps you've come to Christ under false pretenses, and it's not too late to make it right. So if we truly treasure God's words, then we will obey them. But you say, "I cannot obey God's words perfectly." Join the club. Neither can I, neither can any of us. But yet, God commands us to do it. So what is required of us is to make a good faith, wholehearted effort to obey God's commands. And yes, we'll fall, and when we do, we have a God who is faithful and just to forgive us and to restore us to communion and fellowship with Him. So the starting point is this. We cannot treasure and we cannot obey words that we do not read. And so to this end, I urge you, make reading the Scriptures a priority, a daily priority. You make eating food, something as simple as eating food and drinking water, a daily priority for you, do you not? So make eating spiritual food, eating spiritual bread, a priority, just as important even more so, as Job did. So to this end, we have regular Bible reading plans. They're on the table over there. We've taken the liberty of printing some out to you in various formats. Either reading the New Testament, which I encourage you to do if you're new to reading through the Scriptures. Read through your New Testament first and then read through the Old Testament. Or if you prefer, or if you've already read through the Bible in the past, I encourage you to either read through New Testament and then Old. Take a reading from each of the Old and New Testament daily. If you're a little more disciplined, you've been doing this for some years, what I encourage you to do is read a minimum of 4 chapters a day, beginning in the Old Testament book of Genesis. And my wife and I have been doing that for years. Once we got in the habit of doing it, we were able to discipline ourselves because it became a part of our lives, just as much as waking up in the morning and eating breakfast, reading the Word of God. So discipline yourself to read 4 chapters a day and just do it come what may, and you will be blessed and you will finish the Bible with time to spare before the year's over. And as you read God's words, well, first I'll encourage you to make an oath to God, if indeed you decide to take that step, and also to seek accountability from a mature Christian as well. When we go before God and we tell God we're going to do such and such a thing, we'd better make sure we do them. We'd better be taking it seriously. And when we tell somebody else, a mature brother or sister in the Lord, or a mature couple, if you're a couple who is endeavoring to do this, make yourself accountable to other Christians. And this will help you as well. And as you read God's words daily, hide them in your heart, for they're a treasure. There will be days where you will read, say, 4 chapters in the book of Genesis, or the first 4 chapters of the book of Leviticus, and you will say, I do not understand how this relates to my life. I just don't get it. Why am I reading this stuff? Those days will come. There may even be a prolonged period of this. But so long as you are in prayer, the Lord will give you the applications that you need. And what you can do is hide those words in your heart. Because mark it down, at a later day, God will recall to your memory those things that you have read at the time when you need them. For instance, when you're reading through the book of Hebrews, you're going to say, oh yeah, now I understand what Leviticus was all about. Or when something happens in your life, and you were just real bored reading about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you start to realize the faith that some of these men had, and you say, oh yeah, I remember. Abraham went through that. Let me turn to the book of Genesis and take a look at the lessons that I can learn there. So the time will come when you have a big decision to make. And you'll be ready to make the right decision. You'll have the knowledge because you've put in the work to be able to dig into the depths of your heart, to pray that the Holy Spirit recalls those things to mind that you need, and you will be able to respond wisely and make a wise decision when the time comes. That's what reading this book does. It builds us up in wisdom, which is a knowledge used rightly. And if you are not drawn into a closer communion to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not drawn closer to God through Him, then you've missed the main point. So always keep this as the focus. But we pray, Lord, that these things have served to encourage us, to convict us, and to instruct us as to how we might become better servants of you, O Lord. Dear God, if there are any in my hearing this morning who do not know you, who have not applied the blood of Christ to their hearts, who cannot honestly say that they have a relationship with their God in heaven through Christ. Lord, convict such a one that, as it says in your word, through believing in faith, they will hear right now, become a son or daughter of the King. Let it be so. So be it. Amen.
Amen.